Hi, everyone. Welcome to the U Project Harps. Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
Are you all right?
I'm great, thank you.
Who's on the phone?
Andrew.
Here's Andrew. Simo from Vision Personal Training. So the reason I've got Simo on is I'm always being asked about starting a business, Melissa, building a brand, starting a something. And Simo and I have been friends for years. And what I love about his story is he literally went from a bloke working on a gym floor to a bloke who's got an empire and who is, in fact, the leader in Australia in this space.
Impressive.
I was the leader in the space for about 8 minutes and then fucking Simo showed up and selfishly took over and fucking took the baton, kicked me in the balls and just sprinted ahead like a fucking megalomaniac that he is. But enough about my issues. G'day, Andrew.
Oh, hello, Craig.
I bet you've never had an intro like that, son.
Mate, what an intro. Hey, genius.
Hey, all silliness aside, thanks for coming on the show, mate. Thanks for having a chat to us.
Pleasure, mate. Thanks for having me on, mate. Obviously, as we'll chat today, mate, you're a big inspiration to me in my early days. And, mate, if it wasn't for visiting you in Melbourne, I'm not sure Vision would exist.
I reckon it would. But, yeah, we do go back a little bit. Before we talk about that, just quickly bring us up to speed now. So you've got a Bachelor of Sports Science. You're the Managing Director of Vision. There's, to put people in the picture, there's studios or centres, I guess, all across Australia. You voted National Personal Trainer of the Year. You awarded National Personal Training Business of the Year. You've written a couple of books with over 50,000 sales. But you just, and I'm not pissing in your pocket, I mean this, like what I love about you, and I said this to Melissa when I came back from having a chat to your team last week in Sydney, is that you're just like, you're a good businessman, you get it all, and you're great at brand development, and you're great at engagement, and you're great at leadership, but you're just a good dude. You're a dad, you're a husband, you've got four kids, and in the middle of all of the busyness of business, you seem to have your shit together. So where are you at now with how many centres are there in Australia?
Mate, we've got 56 in Australia, but we've got three in New Zealand, in Auckland.
That's amazing. So when did – just tell us how Vision came into being without – yeah, just tell us – because I want people to – I think a lot of people get overwhelmed with where the fuck do I start. Well, you were literally 8 minutes out of university when you and – Jeff Rowe, who we've had on the podcast, Jeff Jowett, when you and he kind of had a chat. Give us a bit of a snapshot about the infancy and the evolution of the brand.
Well, mate, I think it starts way back, mate. You know, having gone to university, studied exercise science, really did this exercise science degree just due to a passion of sport after doing accounting for a couple of years myself. And growing up in a gym, you know, like I was fortunate to be able to, you know, really apply myself in a gym while I was doing my degree. I loved the degree. I loved training myself. I loved working in the gym. So I was just fortunate to be able to sort of grow up in a club, which was just down in the Sutherland Shire in Sydney. You know, a great group of people that worked there. You know, there's so many great people that went on to become, you know, international presenters and that sort of stuff themselves. So I had a really good grounding of mentors that were around me. But really, we fell into this whole thing because I was, you know, in the early days, as you know, mate, that sort of early 90s, mate, you know, whilst PT was probably pretty big overseas and the rest of it, really there wasn't a hell of a lot of PTs that were actually, you know, doing some big things in Australia. And even to the point where my father said, asked me a question, like, you're going to be a what? A personal trainer. And not many people really knew what it was. And having done, spent 2 years on the, my first 12 months on the, first 3 years of my career on the gym floor, pretty much, and not being able to be a personal trainer because the owner of the club said that you couldn't be a PT in the club until you had your degree. Mate, that period of time was actually great for me to get connection with people on the gym floor. But at the same time, it was very frustrating because you'd write someone a program, you smash them with all this great information, and they go away and wouldn't do anything about it. And they come back, you know, whether it was 2 months later or whatever the time frame was, it having sort of done some exercise, but actually not have achieved the results that they really wanted. You know, so I could not wait just to basically work with someone on a weekly basis. you know. So that was awesome. And, you know, really the foundation of the vision came from my experience with Les Mills.
Yeah.
I was fortunate enough to be we were early adopters down in the Sutherland Shire of Sydney, you know, God's country as we call it.
Of course it is.
You know, so down here, we were in the second or third gym in Australia to get hold of Body Pump. You know, so to see that structured programming that was done through group fitness,
yeah,
and see it take off literally globally,
yeah,
and be an early unofficial national trainer for Les Mills, traveling the country every weekend, training instructors how to do that.
Yeah.
Mate, I got to a stage there where I was, you know, basically busting my butt and realizing that I was not going to be able to do this long term by myself.
Yeah.
My ex-girlfriend's father, he ran a really big car empire. He asked me one day, when are you going to get a business rather than having a job? I couldn't believe that he actually asked me that question, because I was, you know, contract trainer in a gym. I was invoicing the Australian Institute of Fitness, or network it was back then. You know, I was lecturing at University of New South Wales, doing some functional anatomy stuff. I'm presenting for Les Mills. I'm thinking I've got a business. He smashed me. He said, mate, that's not a business, that's a job. You've got to be there all the time trading your time for money. And he asked me a question, could you see yourself doing this, you know, when you're 40? Like, you want to have kids and the rest of it. And he really like hit me with some, you know, they were really hard-hitting questions, but God, they were important.
100%, you know? 100%, yeah. What was your answer to him? Because they are really good questions, because I think also not everyone should start a business – and not everyone is going to work in a job. I think some people are great as a career employee, and some people are great owning their own businesses. So what was your answer to him?
Well, besides not actually understanding what the questions actually were, what they actually meant, was that, you know, I really had a passion, mate, that I loved the industry. I wanted to be in it for the long term. And I realized that there was no really other option for me to other than to grow and to build, you know. So I just realized I had to start doing some learning. So, you know, I read a great book called The Amish, Gerber, and then I read Rich Dad Poor Dad, and realized that I was actually sitting in the wrong quadrant. Got onto those things, and I suppose I was fortunate, mate, because the opportunities that there were to have your own business, and, you know, really have your own business at that time was pretty much just employing more trainers inside the gym.
Yeah.
You know, so really at that stage, it wasn't the big bad step of actually having to go and open a facility, have a big premises, you know, take that big step of actually paying your own rent, your electricity, and leasing equipment. I didn't have to do that. All in order for me to be able to sort of start the foundations of a business, I could literally just employ a trainer to work with me alongside me in the gym. You know, and that gave me the grounding to really work hard on the programming, you know. So for that to happen for so long, and you know, really I did that myself, and then I realized that, you know, I was pretty lonely, I suppose, you know, working in the gym, even though I had a couple of trainers and a couple didn't work out. I had one guy basically just try and steal the clients from underneath me, and that didn't feel so good. And then I saw Jeffro. Jeffro and I went to the same uni together, and then we realized that he had the same sort of path that he wanted to basically to grow. And he had some, you know, he's for those who have obviously listened to Jeffro, can talk.
Yeah, he does go. Yeah.
Can talk. You know, he's very gifted at that, right? So, and he's done some great stuff over the years and being able to market. So, we're able to sort of join forces together and run the challenges that we ran inside the gym and pretty much grow our business from inside that. But, you know, we sort of only had to take half the leap, so to speak, without our own premises. And if it wasn't for the fact that it's interesting how the worlds collide, right? Because at the time we'd got told that Fitness First were going to Healthland was bought out by Fitness First. Healthland were getting, I think they went bust, and then Fitness First came in, the corporate juggernaut that they are, and decided to change all the rules.
Yeah,
you know, on PT, you know, and at that time, mate, that's when, you know, I've spoken about many times, mate. I've referred back to the good old Network magazine and the Personal Trainer edition, and seeing this. Big facility down in the on the Nepean Highway in Brighton called Harper's, and gone, what the hell is that?
Mm.
You know, who the hell has got a PT studio?
Mm.
You know, how does that work? Because, you know, and that was coincided at the time with the club basically saying, like, if a trainer leaves you, you can't replace them. You know, and yeah. It was like, okay, we either stay inside this club and we slowly die,
yeah.
Or we make the big step. And that, mate, that conversation, and you know, yeah. I don't take it lightly, mate, that conversation with you gave us the inspiration to go, you know what, we can go out there and do it.
Mm.
You know, but Jeffro and I having big egos, mate, you had 1,000 square metres down there in on the Pean Highway in Brighton. We came back and said to ourselves on the plane, we're going to do this bigger. and luckily we didn't. Luckily we couldn't, because we could only find about 450 square metres rather than 1,000 down here in the boondocks of Caringbah, you know. So it was a blessing that we actually didn't find bigger space, because that wouldn't have been the right step for us.
Yeah, well, 1,000 square metres that I had on the highway was ridiculously too big, but I literally was looking for about the size that you mentioned, and a real estate agent took me up there. In fact, I can probably say it doesn't matter. So that studio was my third studio, and I was looking for something around $50,000 a year. And so that was in, I can't remember, mid-90s, early 90s. I had my first one in 1990. But anyway, so he showed me this joint, which was magnificent, and it was 1,000 square metres on the Pean Highway in Brighton, underground car park, 36 cars. It was fucking Hollywood, right? I'm like, well,
yeah.
Yeah, to fucking, this is awesome, but it's...
You had a running track around it, for Christ's sake.
That's right. It's It's 3 times bigger than I need. I go, and what's the price? $120,000. And this was a quarter of a century ago, dude. $120,000 yeah. grand may have been $10 million to me. And I said, mate, it's a fucking amazing, but there's zero chance that I can afford this. And he goes, make me an offer. And I go, $50,000. And he goes, no, make a proper offer. And I go, that's my offer. And he goes, well, I've got to take him something. Don't be ridiculous. Like, offer me 100 or 95 or something. I go, no. I go, look, just find me the right size at the right. And he goes, all right. He buggers off and then rings me a week later and goes, are you still interested in the highway? I go, I wasn't interested. You took me there. He goes, what if you can have it for $50,000? I go, fucking bingo.
Wow.
So they wanted did you know that story?
I've never heard that story.
Yeah, they wanted $120,000, but it had been vacant for years.
Wow. Yeah.
And I think $50,000 a year is better than $0 a year. And I think the landlord got to the point where he went, well, fuck it, because he must have been chewing through money just sitting on that. And that was, anyway, enough about my boring story. But I think that's one of the things, Simo, is as you start, you're literally fucking making stuff up. Like, for the first 5 years, I was just making shit up and seeing what happened.
Yeah.
There was no blueprint. I mean, at least when you guys met me, I'd made a few fuck-ups and got a few things right. And not that I gave you a template for success, but at least you met one bloke who was doing it. You know what I'm saying?
And that was the biggest thing, mate. Like, you basically showed us that this can be done. Like, you know, it was 1,000 sessions a week across three studios. Like, we're thinking, far, this is actually possible.
Yes.
You know? And that was the greatest thing.
And I think also, Simo, like, one of the things that I want to get across to people is, like, it would have happened anyway, whether it was you and Jeff or me or someone else. Obviously, personal training was an inevitability in Australia, but it just so happened we were in on the ground floor, right? But when I started and there was nobody, the feedback was, this won't work, there's no market for it. You know, it might work in America, different population, 10 times the population of us. Australians won't spend money. All these reasons, and people much smarter in inverted commas than me, business consultants and, you know, my parents who ran businesses, mum was a real estate agent, dad was a high-level business person. God bless both of them. It's not going to work. Everyone was, but the truth is that nobody knows. And that then that essentially became the fastest growing element of the fitness industry for the next 20 years, along with Group X, I guess. So, all right. So you went back, you found your first joint, you set that up what year?
Made 2001. Set that up. February 2001. Yep. So yeah, just in August, just recently we turned 20. So we set vision up. Jeff and I set vision up in August 99.
Perfect.
And then we moved out of the gym, and then we set up in February 2001.
Mm. Congratulations on the 20 years, mate. That's awesome. How has your philosophy, and it's probably in a million ways, but your philosophy around business or your thinking around business, and I know this is a very broad term, but how has it changed in 20 years?
Mate, interesting. Yeah, it's a great question, mate, because I think it used to be for me all about the client. Mm. All about the client. As a PT, mate, it's all about your clients, all about your clients, all about your clients, right? Mm. And as it's changed over the year, I realize it's actually not all about your clients, it's all about your people. It's all about your people. It's all about your team that are around you. Like, you know, we say now, people process clients.
Yep.
You know, you've got to have good people. You've got to give them a process, and the client stuff will take care of itself.
Yep.
You know, yep. If you've got the right people who can follow a process, that'll take care of itself. But often what happens is that, you know, they always say, oh, the client's always right, whatever it is. And you focus on the client first, but then, you know, at the end of the day, if your people get burnt out, you know, and they aren't looked after properly because you're focusing on the clients, mate, you don't have any people to train the clients.
Yeah, 100%.
So that's the thing. And I've had to realize now, you know, with people, I realize, you know, more and more that fast is slow and slow is fast.
What do you mean by that?
So, I mean, if you try and go fast with people just by telling them what to do, now you'll get a slow result, if not anything, any results. But if you go slow with people and as you take the time to understand them, you take the time to train them, you'll get much faster results.
How does it work with Vision? So are they all franchised? Are they most of them, some of them? What's the deal?
Mate, so it's all franchised. Yeah. So we have a little test pilot studio out here at Caringbah. Look, it was Caringbah Studio was the you know, number one studio for many, many years, mate. We were we used to churn 800 sessions a week down here for many, many years. You know, I use that as the we call it it was the farm.
Yeah.
You know, it was the place whereby we just grew the people. So
it's like the mothership.
It was, 100%. It was for so many years. Not now, because we're basically just not in it.
Mm.
You know, to actually focus, I'm obviously more focused on obviously helping the network grow and doing all the application and systems. But so I never created Vision, or Jeff and I never created Vision to franchise it. Mm. It was never about franchising. Mm. All it was about was actually having a consistent system that we could actually train our clients effectively. It was one of the basics to be able to go, you know what, we need our trainers to be speaking the same language as us, and train the same way. And that's how it became. And then basically a couple of years into doing this, we had a couple of trainers say to us, hey, we want to do this too.
Mm.
You know, we're not going to stay here forever working for you guys. You know, we want to basically be able to have our own studio as well. And we sort of had to shift the focus now to not have personal training client systems, but have personal training management systems, to manage the business. So then, you know, they could actually get an opportunity to go and run their own studio. And we went, well, how are we going to do this? What's the most effective way to do it? And we happened to have one of our clients at the time, he was a lawyer for Harvey World Travel way back when, you know, and they were all franchised back then, you know, and he said to me, you know, he had a conversation, said he should franchise it, you know. So, that's when we basically started, you know. A lot of people say, geez, it must be hard with all of those contracts and how do you actually sort all that franchising stuff out? And I think, well, that's not the hard part. You actually pay lawyers for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're the professionals that take care of it. What you have to have is something that's actually franchisable.
Mm.
You know, a model that other people want to have, that they go, you know what, you've taken care of that. I'm not going to spend the time building all that structure.
Mm.
You know, I want to go and just basically implement it.
What happens when someone rocks up and says, hey, mate, I want a franchise, and you sit down with them and go, fuck, you're not the right person? Or does that happen or doesn't that happen?
Oh, it does. I mean, I have had plenty of times, mate. I've tried many different ways to try and advertise for franchises, you know, those franchise expos and that sort of stuff. Yeah. I've had stands and that sort of thing before. And, mate, pretty much people will come up to you and say, hey, look, I'm not tired. You know, I'm interested in this franchise. Can you tell me about it? I'm sort of tossing up between a fitness franchise or a food franchise.
Oh, wow.
And I say, mate, I think you're better off going and buying a food franchise.
Mm.
You know, if your goal is to make money out of this and that's your sole purpose, then that's not right for you. Our business is all about people development.
Mm.
You know, it's more about people development than it is about training clients
mm.
and actually getting the results. Because it's our business, you know, for right or wrong, you know, we're actually nothing without our people.
Mm.
You know, and our motivated people who are passionate about getting results for their clients.
And it's fun. It almost seems counterintuitive because obviously the overarching point of businesses in a business sense is to make money. But as you and I know, if your primary focus is money, you tend to make less, if not go broke. But if your focus is doing what your core product or service or delivering whatever it is that you do, delivering it really well and managing your people or leading your people really well, then the money thing will happen as long as you've got good methodology and systems.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
And I think that's been the thing for me over the years is that I've just had this innate thing inside me, and I don't know where it comes from, but every time I learn something, I have the absolute compulsion to teach it.
Mm.
I thought I didn't know that. Yeah, and even
I'm the same. Fuck, we're peas in a pod. Yeah.
Yeah. It's nuts, right? Even, man, it could be the littlest thing that a franchisee is doing or something that I'll learn at a management course or I ever speak to you about or whatever. That's awesome. Hey, everyone's got to know about that. You know, and ironically, I actually get almost offended sometimes when someone's doing something really good out there. If it's a franchise owner in our network or whoever it happens to be, they're doing something good and they haven't told me about that.
Yeah.
That it's really good and it's working. I actually get the shits because I go far out, man. Just share that stuff. That's it. We all grow. Let's all get better.
So what's something that you've learned recently that you felt a bit excited about that you were compelled to share?
Oh, recently.
Even in the last year, I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah. Mate, I think it's actually just going back to one interesting word that I learned recently is I went to a behavioral psychologist and he taught me all about fascipulation.
Hmm.
So that's a fascinating term. You know, it's actually a fascipulation is often in coaching, it's a combination of the word. It's a combination of facilitation and manipulation.
Wow. Is that a real word or is that a bro science word?
I think it's a bro science word, but this guy was really smart. He had plenty of letters behind his name. So yeah.
No, I love it. Fuck, I'm using it. Don't worry about that. Yeah, I'm not even going to give you credit.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Mate, take it.
I'm going to run with it.
Mate, I say this to students when I present, I still present the Institute of Fitness, and I talk about it all the time. None of this is my stuff.
Mm.
You know, it's all the stuff that I've learned over the years and just want to try and share it, you know. So I hear that sort of thing. And, yeah, it's interesting because you want to facilitate, but at the same time, sometimes when you're doing things, you've got to be able to influence people to do it a certain way.
Correct.
You know?
And you know, I think the commonality with all businesses, products, services, Simo, is the people stuff. And whether or not you're a trainer, an elite coach, a bloke or a girl that owns a restaurant or a psychologist or a corporate speaker, you do a bunch of speaking or whatever. It's still, a lot of it is still about how do I connect with people? How do I engage with humans? How do I interact? How do I communicate in a way that's win-win? How do I empathize and understand and be aware in the moment and be present? And, you know, because if you don't, my audience, I'm sure, get sick of me talking about this, but the bottom line is, irrespective of the brand, the product, the service, the industry, you're dealing with humans, or most businesses involve us at some stage, whether it's face-to-face or online, but you're still interacting with people. So, you know, not just yours, but also your people, because all of your people are leaders, because every personal trainer is a leader, is a teacher, is a coach.
Mate, absolutely. And that's what I think the biggest thing though, that's the overarching thing about what I've learned, especially recently, that, you know, you see the gap sometimes. Like, I think, you know, some people who have grown our business really well, you can see their leadership skills are awesome.
Mm.
And the ones who haven't grown their business as well just lack that leadership, you know. And probably one person which I think probably stood out for me in the last 12 months has been Brené Brown. And her whole ideology around vulnerability and trust. You know, and that's something, and she uses this acronym called Braving. I'm not sure if you've heard of it. It's an acronym for how you build trust, about, you know, basically understanding do people understand your boundaries. That's B. Are you reliable? Are you accountable? Do you hold things in a vault? Do you live with integrity? Mm. Non-judgment? Do you not judge people?
Mm.
And also generosity. And she's gone through a whole bunch of stuff around that, and I've actually used that a lot recently in my own life. And go, if I'm trying to build trust with somebody and they say something really stupid, do I actually judge them for that, or am I not judgmental? And just all those little things that I sort of pick up. But I've actually really enjoyed reading a lot of her stuff this year. Because I think, and that's been something, it's been a big learning for me, because I think I've been someone over the years that's just gone, you know what, I've just got to lead from the front and everyone sort of get out of the way and I need to charge. And I think at that sort of time, and funny enough, like I know you said at the start, like you seem to have your shit together, mate, it's been a time, this year's probably been, I reckon, my hardest year ever in business this year. Mate, just around, like, I'm someone who's got to achieve all the time. And if I'm not achieving, I feel really frustrated by that. I had some challenges around just some missing deadlines on certain things. But, the biggest thing is that my father passed away this year after a very short battle with brain cancer.
Was that, mate? What month was that?
I died, mate. Died only 2 months ago.
Yeah, sorry to hear that, buddy. Yeah.
Yeah, and mate, that actually, funny enough, what it did, it actually really tested my values. It tested me as a person to go, like, I say that I'm this person, and I live out my values on my hand, right? So I put out this thing. I say I'm positive, I'm professional, I'm tough but fair, I'm loyal, and I'm disciplined, and then I share. So it's all on my hand, and I go, that's what I try to live by every day. But mate, during that period of time, and during the couple of months when I was, that we were looking after him and the rest of it, and and around the time before he passed away, then obviously since he passed away, mate, it really made me really look hard at myself as to who I am in a person, also what's important to me as well, and that's so sorry to get a little bit
no mate that, I love it. Well, I love this stuff the most because in the middle of business is humans, man, and feelings and emotion and love and connection. And if you've got fucking 300 gyms but in the middle of it you're miserable, guess what, you're failing. Yes, 100%. If you go home and you're a shit dad because you're preoccupied with business, you're failing. And so that's what I think is really not spoken about enough, is how do I manage my career and or my business and my life? And this is because you are a leader and you are a success story, but then the challenge is, okay, you're great at managing business and people and projects and programs and business development and bottom lines, but then how do you go at managing you? How do you go at managing your mind, your emotions, your spiritual life, if you have one, your energy, your body, and that's the thing is we have this duality about us where there's the external, there's the Simo show, which is not fake. That's just what everyone sees. That's Andrew, the boss, the leader, the business development guy, the fitness industry guru, the speaker, the author. But then there's then there's you that lives in the middle of all of that, you that lives in your thinking and feeling and believing and your values. And it's that's the tough thing, I reckon, that doesn't get spoken about enough, because how many people do you and I know that are killing it in inverted commas, but in the middle of all of that, what seems to be success, they're medicated for anxiety and depression and, they're unhappy, they're miserable, their relationship's fucked, they're struggling. This is the common human experience. And I reckon part of the challenge is, I want to build a business and brand and I want it. But then I think you've even got to look at, well, why do I do this? And like when you said a minute ago, something popped in my head. You said, when something doesn't work out the way I want it to, I get frustrated. And then I would say, well, is that about the thing or is that about you? And that's not because you are a perfectionist and you've got very high standards. But when do you get to the point, and I've asked myself this, when do I get to the point where I go, you know what, my life is great. And if this is as good as it gets, it's okay. It's okay. And I'm making good money. It's okay. And that doesn't mean I'm going to be devoid of ambition or you're going to be devoid of ambition, but I think there's also got to be another conversation other than the how do I build my business and brand and impact and skills and how do I keep evolving and growing, but also how the fuck do I just be calm and content,
100%.
In the middle of all of that other stuff.
Yeah, and that's probably something that's actually made me really stop and think in the last few months, you know. Like, you know, I obviously reflected a lot. I remember my dad's 40th. My dad passed away at 78. I distinctly remember his 40th when I was 10. He's 30 years older than me. Mate, that, and I'm 48 now. So I'm 8 years older than that distinct memory of him turning 40. Right, and it's gone by, and I feel like that's gone by in a flash. You know, and it sort of makes you then start looking at your own mortality and what's important to you and all the rest of it. You know, I'm very fortunate that, you know, I've got a great wife and got four kids, and you know obviously life is busy, I think at times, but I think the secret for me, mate, is that, you know, and one of the biggest things to manage your energy is that what I need to do is I always need to get away each quarter. That's been a big thing for me. That's what probably my biggest learning and balance over the time is that every quarter, I need to go away.
How much time do you take?
Mate, I take at least 7 to 10 days every quarter, and I just need to have it just to be able to get away. I know that I've tried it over the time. Mate, it's out of Fiona. No, it's okay. We won't go away this holidays. I'll spend a bit of time home with the kids, but I know what I'm like. I get home. If I go home, I'm missing my own environment. You know, and that doesn't work for me. You know, so I've realized in the last few years that we have to lock away our holidays, and it's something that the kids look forward to, and Fiona really looks forward to it. You know, and we talk about this idea of work-life balance, and I know that I'm sort of in some ways very imbalanced. You know, I work really hard, but then when we go away, we do cool stuff, and that tends to work really well for me. You know, I found that even in the last time, this last period, because I didn't get a chance to have a good break, that's why I get, you know, get to a stage now where I go, far, I'm a bit flat. I'm actually really looking forward to a break, you know. So that's been a really important thing for us. And that, again, that's something I always share with people. You've got to look forward to it. And I think a lot of people in business, and unfortunately what I've seen so many breakdowns of relationships, which has been scary in business. You know, when you're running a network of, you know, you've got 60 business owners, you know, and some that have come and gone. So I've probably worked with, you know, many more than that over the time. Mate, the divorce rate, the breakdown of relationships because of the lack of communication and connection and, you know, with their partner is actually quite frightening, you know. And so you've got to look forward to it. You've got to sit down and work on your breaks and actually commit to actually that time, you know, that time you're going to spend with your partner and communicate clearly what those boundaries are in terms of what you need to do, and then actually follow through with it. You know, I've seen so many people go, we'll take a holiday when the business gets to here, and that never comes, and they're going to get their shits, relationship breakdown, and they'll lose everything anyway.
And that's why, exactly. I mean, there needs to be, and not just building your bank account, but building your emotional and your spiritual bank account as well. So, mate, I know you don't have heaps of time. Have you got 10 minutes or?
Sure. Yeah, right. Absolutely.
So I want to ask you some questions. Let's keep it brief. I've got all the time in the world, but I don't want to take away your time with your kids.
Mate, funny enough, mate, I've got a pick up tonight at 6:30, pick up my son from swimming. So, mate, we've got half an hour.
Oh, perfect.
We're good.
How far away is swimming?
Mate, literally 3 minutes down the road. I'm lucky now. I just to clarify, you know, I am a dance dad.
That conjures up shit in my head I don't want to think about.
Okay, well, I forgot who I was talking to.
Yeah. All right, so in business we talk about, and I've speak to, you know, people that I coach a bit about, just an idea of having, you know, something which makes your business, your product, your service, or whatever you do unique. Some people call that a unique selling proposition.
Yep.
Just so that we're not just, you know, doing the exact same thing the exact same way as a billion other people. And if Vision has a USP, what is it?
Mate, we have our vision promise. So we've always we have a saying: we guarantee your investment with this simple promise. Follow your program 100% for the first 9 weeks, and in the unlikely event you do not achieve the agreed results. We'll not only give you your money back, but we're training for free until you do.
Oh, wow. That's a good deal. I'm joining Vision tomorrow in Brighton. Yeah. That's it. Fuck it.
There you go.
That's good. I like it. Number two, what did you need to get good at fast when you started?
Mate, I needed to learn how to sell.
Yeah, I can't see you. Could Jeffro could sell fucking anything to anyone under yep. any circumstances,
yes.
including me. Even if I didn't want it, I'd just buy it to shut him up. God bless him. And Jeffro, if you're listening, that's coming out of love. Yeah. So selling.
Mate, I think selling. We sold pay as you go, PT.
Right.
For such a long period of time, right? Mm-hmm. Lucky enough to go to the States and visit a guy who actually done. That's probably what I've done well at times and not done so well at times. I've always wanted to try and connect with people that have done stuff better than me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think they say a conversation with a wise man is worth 20 books. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So you know, there's been some really defining moments. Seeing you in Melbourne was one of them.
Mm.
Mate, seeing the Rick Sikorsky from Fitness Together in America was another one.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about the horse and cart theory. Mm-hmm. And the horse and cart, just cut a long story short, he said, you're learning all about the technical skills, your personal training skills that go in the cart.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be successful as a business owner, you got to work on the horse stuff that pulls the cart.
Mm-hmm.
What pulls the cart is sales and marketing
mm-hmm.
and people development and management. Mm-hmm. That's what pulls the cart along.
Mm-hmm.
You need to focus more on that than that. And I went far out. We were basically $40,000 in debt from outstanding client payments after the first couple of years.
Wow.
On the outside, everyone thought we were killing it. 2003 National Personal Training Business of the Year,
mm.
and Jeffro and I sitting here going, this is bullshit, we're almost broke.
Mm. Mm.
And it was because we just, you know, a lot of people were just not bringing in their wallets, blah, blah, blah. We'd say, no worries, bring it next time we'd never come.
Mm.
You know, and when you're doing so many sessions a week in a studio, mate, you get way behind on owings.
Mm.
So to learn how to sell for us, we came back and, you know, we had to plug into proper sales training.
Mm.
We used Steve Jensen at the National Sales Academy, and he changed us massively. He turned our business around just from that simple thing of learning how to sell long-term programs. Mm.
I think you might have answered this with your heading away four times a year, but
yep.
other than that, if anything, what do you do to self-manage? As in just from keeping yourself mentally, emotionally and physically in a good place?
Mate, I train every day.
Oh, good.
It's like I train every day. It's just, and I'm fortunate I train with my wife every day.
Oh,
it's sorry. Great. It's unreal. So, mate, we do weights twice or three times a week together.
Mm.
We run together, you know, three or four days a week as well.
Mm.
You know, so it's pretty much a combination. That we come to the studio. I've got some equipment at home, so my cardio stuff. So I'll do some stuff at home. But no, we're just fortunate. That's sort of our catch-up time.
Mm.
We do it. We train together either at 5 or 5:30 every morning. You know, it's great. And that, mate, that's make sure we get it done, because you know, in the afternoons I get in inverted commas too busy. Mm. You know, so therefore, it's just become a habit. And if I don't train every day, I actually don't feel right. I think, wow, this just doesn't, you know, I don't feel good about it. So well,
I think it sets you up not just physically, but just puts you in a good place cognitively and emotionally for the day. You know? You create, create a bit of momentum. All right, perfect.
Yeah.
People that are listening to this thinking, I'd like to start my own, doesn't matter what it is, business, whether it's a lawn mowing round or it's a fucking a global phenomenon or anything in between, thinking about starting a business, what's one or two things that they may not have thought about that they should think about in terms of perhaps opening the door on building their own business?
I think the most important thing you'd ask yourself is, what do you actually want? Like you know, they say that, you know, the great books, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, besides the habit number one, which is be proactive or get off your ass and work. Habit number two is begin with the end in mind. You know, and think about, like, what is it like, you know, think down the track, cast a vision, pardon the pun, down the track about, like, what do you want in 1 year's time, 2 years' time, whatever it is, as far out as you can.
Yeah.
And really, do you want a business or do you want a job? You know, and I don't think there's anything wrong with a job. I mean, I loved my job. I mean, I love doing some coaching stuff. I that requires your time. Like, you know, got franchise owners who ask me all the time, hey, can you come and coach me?
Yeah.
And I'll pay you to coach. And I go, I actually love doing that.
Yes.
But I think you've got to work it out what it is that you actually want,
yeah.
a business or a job, because you approach it totally different.
Yes.
You know, yes. You know, rather than if you're just going to get in there and become the technician and do all the work, well, that requires a whole different level of skill set and the way you'd set up your business compared to if you want to leverage your time. You know, so you can have a business that can operate without you.
Good.
So I'll look at that. I think about that as like, what is it they actually really want?
Love it. All right, nearly there. What are you most proud of that you've done in business? And apart from you've done some good stuff as dad and as a husband, as a human being, and I know you got, by the way, you got an award for Rotary from doing some stuff, didn't you? What was that?
It's a Paul Harris Fellow. It's a fellowship, and that's just for work in the community.
Yeah, good for you, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm proud of that, Rob, but funny enough, it's actually my dad presented it to me with one of his mates from Rotary.
Wow.
And my dad was in Rotary for 40 years. Mm. And he was a true Rotary man. And I said in his eulogy, dad presented me that award, but I don't feel like for me, I've done some, I've helped some people get fit and healthy and something I'm actually really passionate about, but that's my business, whereas with Rotary, mate, people give up their time and they do it selflessly. My dad spent so much time, running barbecues, doing all this stuff. Like he was building things, building hospitals and all sorts of stuff, mate, that he spent his time doing. Okay, mate, they're the true champion. So, whilst he presented me that award, I actually feel like it's not something that I should have really got because that sort of downplayed or put me on the same level as him as a community man. And I don't feel like I should be on that sort of same level.
Did you feel a bit fraudulent when you got that?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I did because I thought that my dad deserved that award way more than I ever did.
I get that.
Yeah.
All right.
But I think from a business perspective, mate, it's actually seeing. I love seeing people go from trainers and coming in and not realizing that they are anything, and I've seen them turn into successful franchise owners. I love that. I just love it. I love seeing our career path come to life.
Yeah.
And that's what gives me my greatest joy now is actually seeing people come through and achieve stuff that they never thought they could.
What I love in that same space? I love people like opening a door that they might not have opened without a little bit of a nudge from somebody like you or me or someone else where, and you don't do the work, you just encourage or support or perhaps, coerce a little bit, and you just get people. Do you ever sit in front of someone and think, fuck, I've got more faith in you than you've got in you?
That's every day.
I talk to people all the time. I go, look, I'm not telling you this to be nice. You're smarter than me, or you've got as much or more talent than me, or, I'm a grinder. Like I just fucking grind, but I want to encourage you. And what's getting in your way is not potential, not possibilities, not resources, not time. It's just your fucking fear and your self-doubt because, if you really want to do this, you'll find a way. If you want an excuse, you'll find an excuse. But I love it when somebody that has been, and that's back to the Brené Brown stuff, is being able to be vulnerable and going, fuck, I'm out of my depth. This is new. It's uncomfortable. It's unfamiliar. Fuck, it's not quick. It's not easy. And that's okay. And that's actually, apart from that's going to take me where I want to go anyway, but also that place of vulnerability is where I grow, where I develop resilience, where I build skill, where I build insight and understanding and awareness because my business is not the project. My career is not the project. I think it is, but the project's actually me. I'm the project.
Yep. And that's what I think I was alluding to before with that Brené Brown stuff is that I've realized for me, I've got greater connection with people when I've actually shared my fuck ups more than anything else.
100%.
And that's what I've done. And because then it becomes like I try to aim for me too moments with people because a lot of people now would see me. I mean, I go and talk at the courses and that, and someone goes and pumps me up and says, this person's, but I'm coming in and they tell this great story about who I am. But I go, you know what? I've got two arms and two legs just like everybody else. Mm. And I go, if I can do something that's pretty successful, I don't see why anybody else can because I'm no more talented. All I've done my whole life is just work my ass off, and that's what's got me there. And I, and as you said before, mate, I'm like that. I wing it every day. Mm. Every day, I'm just having a crack. Mm. And if I try stuff where it's asking a question or trying to come up with a solution, if I'm not getting the actual results that I want, I'll just try something different. And see if I can aim up and get it. And I think I'm just not scared about actually having a go or asking a question, but I feel like I'm failing forward all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm actually okay with that.
I love that. I love that.
I think a lot of people aren't actually. They're too afraid of doing that. They're looking for, whether it's working with someone or coaching, they're actually looking for the perfect question. And they go, they can't ask a question unless it's perfect.
I mean, failing is just another word for learning. It's just another word for trying. It's just another word for having an experience. It's, you know, it's, and that if you and I stopped when we fucked up, well, we'd both be doing fucking night fill at Big W. You know, God bless. Oh, is Big W? They don't do night fill, do they? Woolworths?
No, I think they do.
Do they? And God bless anyone who's doing that. That, I don't think that's a bad job. It's just not what I've probably would be good at. All right, we're nearly done. I'll just take my feet out of my mouth and just fucking plow on because I just insulted 1,000 people. Fucking hell. Oh. I have this ability to be able to insult people while trying to pay a compliment. It's, if you want me to teach you how to do it, mate, just stick around. All right. If everything goes great on planet Andrew, on planet Simo, what will be happening in 5 years? If everything goes according to plan, if everything's awesome, and I mean in business and out of business. So you said you're 48. What will your life look like when you're 53?
Mate, I think what we'd be doing is definitely growing our network. I want to grow the network, mate. It's funny, you know. People say, "Well, you know, when are you going to sell? When are you going to do? When are you going to settle back?" I go, mate, I feel, mate, you know, I feel like I'm responsible. I'm responsible for people that come in. They've been given this great career. They're given the opportunity for a great career path, and they want, they see it. I say it's my responsibility to help them do that. You know, so mate, definitely going. We definitely want to grow to open 100, go to 100 studios. You know, I'd love to see someone be able to take the brand overseas. Now, whilst we're in New Zealand right now, we've got some great franchise owners over there in New Zealand, and you know, passionate about growing the brand over there. My goal is not to have it all. You know, I'd like to see the brand grow to help people grow. You know, I remember a good friend of mine, Kerry McAvoy, said to me, we'll contemplate on going to New Zealand. And I sort of questioned, I went, I don't know if we want to do that. And he said, all right, so you're selfish, are you? And I went, what do you mean? He goes, well, mate, you've got a great product and someone wants it over in New Zealand. So if you're not willing to give them the opportunity, mate, it tells me that you're selfish. You know, and I've always respected Kerry. And you know, I could on you, mate, you just smashed me. And thank you. I respect that, you know, and I believe that our brand needs to go to different continents, you know, and I want to give other people the opportunity to do that, you know, and the only reason why we say we want a little bit of money from that is so we can continue to help support it, you know, and I think, you know, so from a financial point of view, if you go, you know, hey, hands up, I love money. I love money because you can only create leverage really through people, systems and money, you know, and we need money to reinvest. And we've just spent $500,000 so far on our new app for our clients. You know, but if we're not profitable, we can't actually build the new level of products. So, mate, I'm excited about continuing to build our app. We want to basically build our client app out so that clients, people that aren't part of a Vision Studio can actually use our client app, you know, to be able to get results of that. So the online PT side of it is actually important for us. And, mate, I'm actually really excited about providing, you know, further opportunities to my HQ team. You know, my team here, mate, they bust their asses every day. You know, they're in here trying to support our network. And I feel responsible for them because I want to see them benefit from this opportunity as well. So, you know, I see myself being heavily involved, but I actually see it you know, having some more layers of management that are actually going to help us to be able to grow the brand further. You know,
you have a genuinely good culture. I know that I was up there last week and I had a chat to about 100 or so of your team, and I'm not just saying this. It's like I've done, as you would imagine, plenty of chats to fitness industry folk over the years, and you just have a very, very good energy. And not just that, but so many people came up to me and spoke to me who were very genuine, very engaged and very interested and very curious. They weren't there because, oh, fuck, I've got to be here for a professional development day. Fuck. They were, and even when I arrived a bit early and I was watching, there were groups of them out and about just in like little clusters of 15 people. I don't know what they were doing. They were like brainstorming. They were in groups and, I don't know, fucking conceptualizing and problem solving and whatever. They were doing stuff. And not one person was checking their phone or post. Everyone was fully into it. I just thought,
And that was before you and I even spoke, because you were still inside and then you came out, and I thought, well, whatever he's doing something right, because these people are fully into this. So it's a credit to you, mate. One last question just before we go, because you've got to go and get your kids. I don't want you to be a negligent father and me be the fucking cause of that.
Yeah.
If Andrew Simmons had to stop doing fitness altogether,
yep,
and do something completely unrelated and different, be that, you know, become a monk, build another business, get a job doing night fill, or fucking retire, if you had to stop doing what you're doing and do nothing related, what would you do?
Mate, I'd be speaking.
Mm.
100%. I'd be out there doing the speaking stuff. I love that. Like, I think when it's funny, you work on my why, you know, my personal why. Mm. Realize Simon Sinek stuff.
Yep.
Over the time, you know, and you know, I think it's my part of my why. Like, inside my why, my business now, I think about what I do. So what do? I build a business so that the Vision family can have healthy, fulfilled lives.
Yep.
That is my why inside Vision. That's why I do. So, you know, every day I wake up and think about. So it's a two, so that.
Mm.
I do something so that. So what do I do every day? I build a business model. I work on our model all the time. Mm. Now, whether it's actually building leadership programs, whether it's actually working our operating systems, that's what I do. So that our Vision family, and I call my family, my wife and my kids as part of the Vision family, so they can lead healthy, fulfilled lives. But outside of that, before I sort of refine that, my why was to inspire people to want to be better.
Mm. Yeah, I like it.
Sounds
familiar. Just,
yeah, it's like, come on, you can do this. Yeah, you know, and
on,
to get
you're on fire, son, isn't he? Fuck, yeah. You love this shit. You're good at this. You fucking love it. All right. Before we go, a book or a documentary or a book or a something that you want to recommend to my listeners, to something that they might watch or read or get involved in, that might fucking turn them around or light a fire.
If I think about something to watch, I love Tony Robbins's Netflix documentary, I'm Not Your Guru.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah, I really like that. There's so many messages in that. Mm. You know, I think one of the big thing I took away from that is that, you know, I don't believe I can motivate anybody for a long lasting change. I don't think any of us can.
Mm.
All we can do is give them ice.
Mm.
And that's an acronym. We can inspire them, coach them, and then educate them to become self-motivated.
Mm.
And it's actually, I believe it's a process, because without being an inspiration to someone, they will not allow you to coach them.
Mm. That's so true. And,
you know, they're going to look at you and go, you know what? You're actually worthy of listening to.
Mm.
I will stand here and listen to you, you know, so I become coachable because of you.
Mm-hmm.
So in this situation, mate, you've always inspired me. Mm. So if I'm willing to go ask you more questions and the rest of it, and that's a really good idea, Craig, blah, blah, you know, tell me more about that and I'll work with you.
Mm.
But then you can't actually educate me until you know who I am and where I'm at, what I want. You know, so and I use that, and the reason why I share that now, because Tony Robbins does that really well with a lady as part of what he does in the documentary.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's good.
Yeah, so that's where I looked at it, and I always use it as a reference point that Tony Robbins inspires people, so that even when he gives it to them, they are willing to be coached by him because he inspires them.
Mm.
And then once he understands that and he asks them all these different questions, he then knows what they need to be educated on. So I love that. I really, really love that. I love the book. I love Brené Brown stuff, Dare to Lead. I really love that. You know, I think that's been really good for me.
Mate, you're a gun. You're a gun. Now, do you want to plug anything? Do you want to just, if people want to find a trainer, what do they just go on the Vision website?
Just jump on the Vision website, visionpersonaltraining.com.
Yep.
Is the place to go. We have some obviously studios, you know, studios in Sydney, in Melbourne, in Southeast Queensland, and also in Auckland.
Awesome.
So that's where to go. If anyone, you know, obviously looking for a career change and looking to be involved in the fitness industry, we've got plenty of people. We've had a lot of people that have been clients that have actually become really successful franchise owners. You know, who have wanted to change careers, they're passionate about health and fitness, they're passionate about developing people, and we've got a model that allows them to do that.
Mm. Well, mate, I appreciate your time. We appreciate you giving freely of your knowledge and your experience and your wisdom and your fucking enthusiasm. God, I want to go for a run, and I never want to go for a run.
Oh,
fucking hell with my 117-year-old knees. Mate, love you guts. Appreciate you being on the U Project, and we'll talk soon.
No worries. Thanks for your time, Craig.